In his grace, this hour are you washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed? Hallelujah. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white, in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul,
yes, it is,
be ready for the mansion's cry, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed
in the blood,
in the blood,
in the soul
cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you
washed
in the blood,
in the
soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed? Hallelujah. Oh, are you washed
in the blood,
in the
soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are your garments
spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
One more time, hallelujah. Oh, are you washed? Yes, I'm washed.
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul
cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb,
by the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
And that's not all.
There's more beside.
No, that's not all.
There's more beside. beside. No, that's not all. There's more beside. I've been to the river and I've been baptized. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
If you wanna see,
if you wanna see that devil run,
if you wanna see,
oh, if you wanna see
that devil run,
if you wanna see that devil run,
you gotta shoot him with a gospel gun.
All my sins are washed away.
I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost, I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
That's not all.
And that's not all.
There's more beside.
There's more beside.
No, that's not all.
Oh, that's not all.
There's more beside.
No, that's not all. There's more beside. I've been to the river and I've been baptized. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
Let's see that devil run. And if you wanna see,
if you wanna see
that devil run,
if you wanna see, if you wanna see that devil run,
you gotta shoot him with a gospel gun. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
One last time. I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Holy Ghost, I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
One last time. Hallelujah.
I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost, I am. All my sins are washed away.
I've been redeemed. Amen. Sister Renee, come on up.
Amen.
Gone a while. Just thank God for, you know, I'm feeling better. And let me come back.
Amen. Well,
I said that.
Good to see you. Amen.
I had not even think about leaving this church. Don't get me wrong.
That
thought never crossed my mind.
No.
if I miss, it's, you know, my husband said I can stay home. But
right.
Just, you know, I have a thought.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I take this very important.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Catching up with your last Sunday's message, I am an ambassador. When I go out, I speak Jesus. You know,
amen.
That's love. That's power. That's healing. That's forgiveness. You know, it's all those things, and I take that role very seriously. So in your message, you said, don't be too quiet. And I don't want to be too quiet. I've got too much to thank God for. And, you know, just I've got people depending on me. You know, I was talking to my dad today. And
amen.
Man, I love him so much. He's given me such a good life. And
Amen.
I seen him the last 2 days. He doesn't look good. So I called him today, thank you, and I said, hey, how you feeling? And he's like, I'm fine. He said, I'm fine. I'm not sick. I said, I want you 100%. And he said, okay. He said, I'll take it. So he's believing, and I'm believing, and I want him 100%. I want him sleeping well. I want him feeling well, and I want him looking healthy. So, you know, I have that power. He said, I told him where I was going tonight. I had some errands running. I said, I'm going to church tonight. He said, I'm glad you go to church. They know I'm different. You know, they know when they need a prayer, they call me or they send a message through dad. You know, and I love this church. Amen. Sister Glenda's here. It's nice to see you, sis.
Amen, sis.
I'm not going to be quiet anymore.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, sis.
I'm just so grateful to be here. I really am. I'm very humble. There's been some challenges, but God is almighty. He's almighty. And I want to obey God. He says, speak. My brothers and sisters Amen. Have shared with me, you know, everyone else can testify, but that doesn't mean anything if you don't testify, you know. I am his child.
Yes.
He loves me,
Talk
and I love
it.
Him,
yes.
You know. And I tell you, these messages that we've been receiving,
oh my
goodness, it has filled and continues to fill my spirit. I'm just so grateful and thankful for the Lord.
Amen.
I'm grateful and thankful for my brothers and sisters. And I'm mostly grateful that God allowed me to come through that door and be able to breathe and worship with you all.
Amen. Bless you.
You know, one thing I'm going to say, we love this word. I, you know, Brother Moore, your message Sunday was wonderful. I thank God that I can hear. I thank God that, you know, I'm reading a book. I love audiobooks. So I was listening to this book about, you know, what happened on January 6th. You could get, you know, it made me want to cry, all that went down on January 6th and, you know, all that. But Brother Moore's already talked about the political thing, you know, how to keep things in balance. So I get to have peace, you know, on this side, in the natural, in the spiritual sense. I get filled up from the word. When I walked out of here Sunday, I was... Oh, it's so horrible. But I get peace in the midst of a storm.
Amen.
And that's wonderful because, you know, we sing a song about the winds blow and this and that. But, you know, I feel like I have a shield around me because I've got this word.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. You know, I walk into the sanctuary and I get to see you all.
Yes.
That is a blessing. I sit in heavenly places.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. And I know, you look at things, the word helps you with your eyesight, your natural eyes, your spiritual eyes. You know, I get to walk this thing out with you all, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, I have so much to be thankful for. You know, I have a beautiful dog. She's 15 years old, and every day is a gift. And I thank God when I see that dog, I say, Lord, thank you. That dog, I love my little dog.
Yeah.
And I know that she's going to go at some point. But we all are going to go at some point. So I say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to say something else. Has God been good to me? Who has it better than me?
Nobody.
Nobody. And I'm thankful.
Amen. Go ahead, bro.
One thing we all have in common is love for the Word of God.
Amen.
That Word of God is beautiful.
Amen.
You know, you read that Bible, it's like poetry.
Yes.
It is just poetry.
Yes.
And how God puts that Word in there just to satisfy your soul for every little thing you go through. You know, September's an important month for me because September is when I came to the message. 45 years ago in September. And October is important to me because in October... I went to the river and I got baptized. Amen. But there was something more important than that. God revealed this word to me. And this word is more important to me than anything in my life. This word has helped me, let me tell you, for 45 years. 45 years. And I'm 70 years old now. And God has given me strength and good health. If you don't have your health, like Brother Children say all the time, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And that's a blessing from God, because everything comes from Him. Everything comes from Him. And I thank Him for this word. And I wanted to get up Sunday, and then I saw all the people getting up today. I said, they're not going to stop me today. And I don't know if they're going to cut us off. But I want to praise God, because I want to be an ambassador, because Dawn and I have just thought about that so much, how we want to be an ambassador. We want to reflect this word. We want to put a positive testimony out to that critical world of this body. We're a beautiful body. We're a strong body. We're strong believers. We believe full truth. And, you know, let the critics see us. We're the ones that will love them when they kick us. We're the ones that will help us. They'll be gone, and then they'll call and be right there. You can't tell me anything different.
Come on.
I've seen too much.
Amen, amen. Oh, go ahead, sis.
Glad to be here. The testimony is for myself. I didn't know what he wanted me to say. Just his timing, my prayers to him. I can't do it. He answers and fixes my relationships. Amen. That are important, my mom, my sons, and their families, you know, to build what's godly. Because I know it's been put in me, and I want it to go to those that I know that I can help.
Amen.
That's what I'm here for. What am I made for? What am I made for? To keep to myself, or to let Him use me? Be a willing vessel and not hold on. So I'm thankful to be here. Thank you.
Amen. Let's worship Him. Let's sing. She had already went. She was the first one. One of the first ones. Let's. Oh, Brother Tommy, go ahead. Sorry.
Good evening, everybody. Sorry for my attire. Came straight from work today, but I just wanted to come up here and praise God just for another day on the earth, and not only that, but to be able to, you know, have work, go to work, and then come from work to where I need to be at. And, you know, He sees us through that time and time again, even when we don't even recognize it. So I just wanted to give Him, you know, no praise is too small for our God, and amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Warren. You'll be the last one.
I got the cutoff. I'm just so happy to be here.
Amen.
You know, we got to do our jobs here. We got to make the song leaders nervous.
Right.
You know, they're not nervous. We're just warming a bench. But, you know, even if it's just to come up and say, you know what, I believe this. I thank God that He's opened my eyes to this, and there's nothing preached here but 100% truth.
That's right.
Amen. I'm convinced of that. But what I wanted to say was, you know, I was just thinking about what God had showed me since the last time I was here. And I started thinking on that. You know, being an ambassador, you're representing something. You know, and in this place, you're representing the kingdom, you know, and you know, I don't have an office that I have to drive to now. There, you know, my office is my other bedroom. So people come to me, you know, they come to me and they need help. Right. Of course, it's work related, but in my case, I've often thought, why can't I go out there, you know, to greet people? But I do, you know, when I go about my shopping or whatever. But and I thought about all of these people that come to me because they need help with something.
Yeah.
Every now and then you get somebody that is extremely grateful for the help that I provide, and they throw in some hearty thank yous. You know, it's heartfelt.
Yeah.
You can tell. And I thought about that, and I go, you know what? When was the last time that I had a really heartfelt thank you to God? You know,
Amen.
that's where God let me just see that, because, you know, we go about our business. I mean, we get the word here, and we know this is the best place out of all. As far as I'm concerned, we're the most revelated group of people.
Yeah,
I'm just going to say it. What better way to express your gratefulness and your thankfulness than to do it here in front of
Amen.
God. in a really sincere way, you know, from a humble spot in my being, you know, that I'm just that much grateful, because each one of us is a one in a million, you know, each one of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that much more meaningful, at least for me, that God foreknew that I would accept his word.
Amen.
And all I can say back is, thank you, Lord. Let me give you my praise. Let me give you my gratefulness for what you've done for me. Amen.
Amen. By way of announcement, this weekend, September 22nd, we've got the pitchers. This is Pitcher Taking Sunday. And Tony Ojerabisa will be with us. He'll be preaching on Sunday morning, and we'll have Sunday evening service. And then September 29th, we are going to London. That is next Sunday. We're going to London, Ohio. Church leaves at 9 a.m., and then on that evening, there's no Bible study. I regret to inform you. October 4th is the bonfire. And then we've got October 17th through the 20th, South Carolina trip. And then you've got two Tuesdays from yesterday to have your money in for that trip, because it's due on the 1st of October, and that's the week after next week. So we are standing on holy ground, and then we'll get them up.
Amen.
Key of D.
Amen.
God bless the testimonies. God bless you.
Thank you.
And we'll start with the chorus.
Yes, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. So let us praise him, Lord Jesus, on holy ground.
When we walk through the door,
as I walk through the doors, I sense his presence. And I knew was a place where love abounds. For this is a temple, Jehovah God abides. On holy ground,
worship him with this evening with me.
Yes, we are standing on holy ground. know that there are angels all around. So let us praise Him, Lord Jesus, now. For we are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Second verse.
In His presence there is joy beyond all measure, and at His feet peace of mind can still be found.
Hallelujah.
And in half a need I know has the answer. Just reach out and claim it, for you are standing on holy ground.
We are standing.
Oh, yes, we are standing.
But it was the Holy God on the ground. You were there, Lord, and you said, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. And Lord, we appreciate the understanding today, Lord, that you're in us. And that's what makes us holy, Lord. It's not holy that we worked up. It's not holiness that we've earned. It's not holiness that somehow we've managed to do. You said you declared us holy. You gave us your own life, and it's become our life, and we thank you for that understanding. Thank you for this service tonight, Lord. We opportunity to come in here and worship you and praise you and hear you talk to us one more time. Have your way tonight. Be with the body around the world. Be with Brother Praveen as he's traveling back home. Lord, be with the people here in this congregation sitting here tonight. Touch their knees, Lord. We have some eyes that need touch, Lord. We have some other physical conditions that need touch, Lord. You know each and every need, Lord. And we ask that you move on their behalf. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Have your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be here this evening. See everybody. And I do mean it is good to see you, but if you weren't here, I'd still be glad to be here. Because I have come for the Word. I have come to hear from God. And we have good services here. I know Brother Praveen started his journey home this morning, and he's got a 24-hour-ish journey, so God bless him. And we trust that God will watch over him and take good care of him. He's been a blessing to us, and we appreciate everything he did. And thank you for giving those announcements. We've got good things coming up. We got Brother Jerabisa, and as we go to London, Ohio, what we're doing is visiting Brother Peterson's church, as Brother Moore told us, and help dedicate that church. So that'll be a good time. So don't forget those things. You know, when you miss is when you miss out, because when you're here, it's God's always moving. He's always talking. He's always doing something. And I haven't been to one service yet that I haven't got blessed, that I haven't, you know, way to express it, it's not knowledge, but step up in your understanding. It gets a little brighter. And it doesn't matter what topic it is, how many times we preached it, you know, we said it before. It always, God brightens it up. He sharpens the sword, so to speak. He brings it from another angle. And we appreciate the blessings that we get from God for that. Because you know this Bible here, if God didn't send us a preacher and then quicken the Word, we wouldn't be able to put this thing together. You know, we were fellowshipping a little bit last night, and, you know, we were talking about Paul's writings, you know. One place, the law is not even for a righteous man. Another place, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the this and that have no place in heaven. Another place, you know, live this way, do this, don't do this. Another place, blessed is a man who don't condemn himself in things he allows. One place, you should conduct yourself this way, and you shouldn't even be talked about this way. And if you don't work, you're worse than an infidel. Then on another place, that what I would do, I'd find myself not doing, and that what I do, I find myself doing, you know. And the point being is, Paul had it right. Paul had it absolutely right. But the point I'm making is it takes a revelation from God to even be able to read this Bible right and get an understanding. And you know, one, you know, denominations, starting with the Catholic Church, they insert their own creeds and dogmas. You know, let's start there. But on the other part of that, is they haven't accepted a prophet. They haven't accepted somebody to come and help them understand what this word even meant, you know, and then have the Holy Spirit reveal it to them. And they're guessing and they're probing. And they might get a guess here or two, right, you know, sometimes. And some denominations have some things that they say that's very good. We know it. But we thank God for a clear understanding. It means more to you than, and more to me than sometimes I stop and give it credit for. You know, when we say put on the whole armor of God, it's all revolving around the Word. You know, that's what we're fighting the devil with. I know it's the helmet of salvation, but where did you learn about your salvation? The Word. The shield of faith, how did you get faith? By the preaching of the Word. You know, this Word is your foundation. This Word is that sword. This Word is how you're going to overcome the devil with. Because that's even what Brother Branham even said about Christ when he approached him after that 40-day fast in a weak moment. He put him back to the Word every single time. And the only way to really do that and win with that is you got to have a revelation of the Word, because you'll point him to a scripture that don't even mean what you think it means. But Jesus put him to the Word that he had an understanding of. He knew what he was saying. He knew what he was talking about. And that's what Matthew 16 says. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And that revelation, the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. And so, as Brother Branham says, we've said many times, you can never overemphasize the importance of revelation. The fact that God comes in here service after service and preaches the Word to us. And then writes down that Word and quickens that Word to us. Oh, we're a blessed group of people. We're blessed that He uses flesh and decided to use it and foolishness of preaching, because we come in here, we ain't got nothing to tell you in that sense as men, but God takes over, and God starts talking, and God starts breaking down Scripture, and that word starts going out and discerning the body and knowing everything that we have need of and answering questions, and sometimes it spanks us, and sometimes it pats us on the back, and sometimes it lifts us up, and sometimes it says straighten up, but it knows what we need, and He delivers every single time.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that this evening.
Yes.
So with that said, if you have your Bibles, we enjoyed what Brother Moore preached on Sunday. I heard you testifying about it. I heard you talking about it Sunday night. Great message. A lot was said. I don't want to say too much about it because it will connect to the night's preaching. So I'm just going to start that way. Because there's some things we'll say, Lord willing, you know, what He wants to say. But it was good. And, you know, we are ambassadors.
Right.
And, you know, one thing I will say is there is a difference between a U.S. citizen and a U.S. ambassador.
Amen.
There really is.
Citizens
can go to a country, and there's warnings about going to that country.
Right.
And you can go on your own thing, and you're not guaranteed they coming to get you.
Right. Right.
You're not sponsored.
Right.
You're not sent.
Okay.
Matter of fact, quite the opposite. I wouldn't go here.
Right.
And because, but you're free. You're free to go. But I wouldn't go there because of ABC. And if you go to this area, watch ABC.
Yeah.
But an ambassador is a little bit different. Because
yeah.
If that country that's so dangerous touches that ambassador, it's almost a declaration of war.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, an ambassador's sent.
Yeah.
Despite of the condition.
Yeah.
Ambassador's sent to do a job despite of how tough it may be.
Right.
Despite how scary it may be.
Oh, yeah.
But here's what's so great about it. If God sends you, oh, He'll back you up.
Yeah.
Oh, if God sends you, He'll protect you. And that's why I always know if we're flying somewhere, if we're going to travel to a country, I was like, Lord, I know You're leading.
Yeah.
I ain't looking for somewhere just to preach to preach.
No, right.
I want to go where God wants to go.
Because
I know if I go where God wants to go, it's going to work out just the way He saw it.
Amen.
And He'll back it up.
Yes.
And so there is a little difference. You can be a citizen and you ain't sent to everywhere. But when you're an ambassador, you're sent for a purpose, for a job.
Amen.
And that's what we're down here for. We're sent for a purpose. We're sent for a job. We are ambassadors of Christ. There's a reason why we're here. We're not really here just to breathe air.
Right.
We're here to manifest God in the hour that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do the word of the hour, manifest the word of the hour, walk the word of the hour. And you know, in reality, we really do it with every heartbeat. Always say, well, God comes down and He sometimes reminds you. He has to spank you, get you back on course. You're a little bit out of step. Get with it. Pay attention here.
Right.
But our nature's our nature if you've been born again.
Right.
Now examine yourself. You got to examine yourself.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you're the one in the faith.
Right.
You need to make sure you're the one that is born again.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you're the one that is sent.
Right.
Oh, my, if you go and you're not sent, God bless you. I ain't wishing bad things for you, but God bless you. I hope the best for you.
Amen.
But you're walking out on a limb. You better make sure you're sent. You better make sure you're born again. Because if you ain't born again, you ain't going to heaven.
Right.
You're walking out on the biggest limb there is.
Yeah.
You're putting your eternal life on it.
Amen.
And so examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Do you believe this thing?
Right.
Is this thing real to you?
Oh,
I'm not worried if you don't live like I do or if I don't live like you do. I'm talking about somebody who loves the Word of God and cares about the Word of God.
Amen.
Turn with me to 1 Peter. The 5th chapter. And that's after James, after the book of Hebrews. They're short chapters, so they're a little harder to find. I'm trying to help you a little bit. I know the issue. I've had trouble myself finding it, so I ain't telling you anything I haven't experienced myself. A little bit before the book of Revelation. But 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to start with verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind.
Amen.
neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. That's not my message, but there's a lot you could say in those few scriptures I just read there. You know, our pastor is sent by God. Amen. Ordained to lead us through. You know, sometimes it gets so plain. We say, well, you want to see God? You look right here. And that bothers people, especially people that are new, because there's a way that works. It ain't that I'm with my flesh just thinking what I want to do and snap my fingers, but the Word's become one with me. God's become one with me. God's in me. That's how I'm one with God. But I want to make it really simple to you. God has sent you a pastor. Somebody ordained to lead you through. Now, none of us are perfect and do everything right, but I'm telling you, when God tells that man to give you an answer, that's an answer from God. That's how simple it is.
Amen.
That's God's channel. That's how it works.
Amen.
That's the Uman Thurman. That's the thing that lights up or doesn't light up for you in some ways. Now, you have your own leadership. You have your own still small voice. You hear the preaching of the Word. We know that you're not going to pastor every little decision you make, but I'm telling you, God can talk to you through that man and give you that answer.
Amen.
That's not my message, but I just saw where he said, have oversight in the leading thereof. But it's true. It's the way it works. You'll be blessed if you listen. It's the facts. I ain't here trying to put fear in you, but I'm telling you, it's God's answer. You can get an answer. It's pretty easy. And then we submit ourselves to the elders. We respect our elders. And not only that, we want to help each other. Humble ourselves for each other. Now, moving on. Yea, all of you subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. May God add the blessings to the reading of his word. My title tonight is Cast Your Cares Upon Him. And before I get started, let me read you a quote. Brother Branham read this scripture that I just read to you, and he preached a message. He cares, do you care? And Brother Branham's talking here. He said he cared for Elijah when he and he alone cared for God. Hallelujah, Brother Brown said.
Amen.
That's where it comes to. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Peter speaking to the elders and them in the church, he said, put your cares on him because he cares for you. Put everything there because you're clean before God. You're walking as servants of God. Now listen to this next statement. God cared for Elijah because Elijah cared for God.
Amen.
God cared for Elijah because Elijah cared for God.
Amen.
All the other preachers had lost the vision of that day, had lost the will of God and the love of his word, and it went modern. But no matter how modern Jezebel had them, the first lady of the land, no matter how much the other preachers let the women act and do, Elijah called out against it in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He cared for what God said.
Yeah.
And God cared for Elijah.
Uh-huh.
And what Elijah said then. Because he said the word of the Lord. God cares when you care.
Amen.
But you got to care first.
Yeah. Right.
Now that's a mouthful.
That's right.
God cares, do you care?
Right.
That's a big question, Brother Branham asked. And you know, you read that message a little bit. He was nice. He was gentle, but he was just talking about sincerity and being devoted to God. God don't want somebody that don't care about him. God don't want somebody half in, half out. God don't want somebody that's got him second place. God don't want to be third place. God don't want to be 10th place. God wants to be first place. And what was amazing how he worded that there, he said, when God cared for Elijah, and then when Elijah cared for him, God cared for Elijah's word. He backed him, in other words. He brought it to pass. Because that was his servant. That was his ambassador. That was his worker in that hour. That was his representation. Just like he said, Moses, you go down there and speak and I'll be with you. You call for flies and I'll back it up. But Moses cared for God and what God was asking for. So God cared for Moses.
Amen.
That's how it works. That's no different than God chose Moses because Moses chose God. God don't force you to do anything. He doesn't force you to do one single thing.
Amen.
He lets you choose to do it. But he cares for you.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to talk about both sides of this. We're going to talk about how God cares too. Hey, he's got to care too. Because no matter how much you tried, you couldn't do it without him.
Amen.
And let's start with the best thing he's ever given you, the gift of God's eternal life.
Amen.
That new birth, that representation,
Amen.
That predestinated seed by his foreknowledge that he gave you.
Amen.
That's the greatest gift and thing he could have ever given you.
That's right.
And I say it like that because the Bible says it was a gift, but you know you were always part of God. But the best thing you have about you is that eternal life, that new birth.
Yes.
That's God caring for you.
Yes,
do you realize God saw you would choose him and serve him, so he gave you a piece of himself?
Amen.
And now by very nature, you're completely changed. You are one with the Word. You can't help but respond to the Word because your very nature is God, and God is the Word. God cares for you. The fact he gave you a new birth is just a starting point of his care. Oh, he's taken care of you from day one. But he wants you to care for him too. Oh, I'm going to read a few of my favorite scriptures here tonight. And I know... I could just sit here and preach, but these are good ones. I want to give them to you. They're familiar to you. But I want to use them to show you how much God cares for you. He's cared for you when you didn't even know who he was. He was caring for you when you weren't even serving him. He was taking care of you when you were in your great-great-great-great-grandfather's seed. He was going to make sure you got here before you even had anything to do with anything. That's how much God cares about you. He stopped every traffic light that needed to be stopped. He stopped every car that needed to be stopped. He stopped everything that he's had to stop to protect you. He's watched over you. He's guided you. He's been a guardian angel for you your whole entire life. He knew what decisions you would make before you made them. And if he had to, he put a well or a fish or whatever, a car in the way to protect you and watch over you. Oh, he sent preachers your way. He sent friends your way. He sent foolish virgins your way. He sent parents your way. He sent uncles your way. He sent jobs your way. He sent everything you got your way to help you. Because he said, I'm the Lord God that supplies all your needs. God cares for us. Oh, my. Lord, help me get to the scripture. But I said it now. I'll read it eventually. Even if I read it at the end, I'm going to read it. Don't you worry. But God cares for us. Oh, God come in here Sunday and told us what iniquity was more than he's ever told us what iniquity is. He said it's known to do good and choosing to do otherwise. Just the facts. And he laid it out so far that even a believer can do it. But thank God he cares. Thank God Romans 4 shows up. Blessed is the man who... iniquities are forgiven. Blessed is the man whom God will not impute sin to. That's God caring for you even when you choose to go the other way. Oh, that makes me feel good tonight. Oh, I ain't telling you to do bad just to do bad, but thank God he cares for us, because I do some things that I know I shouldn't do, but thank God Jesus paid it all. Oh, God covered us when we didn't even know we need covering.
Amen.
when we know we're running the opposite way. When we choose to go the other way. Thank God.
Amen.
For His amazing grace.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes,
He forgave me for my iniquities.
Amen.
Thank God.
Yeah.
For true justification.
Amen.
Thank God that He sent Jesus.
Yes.
Thank God Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done.
Yes.
He did all this for you and me.
Because
that's how God cares.
Yes.
I'm going to say it again, but He wants you to care too. You got to care too. He cares for those that care for Him. That's how it works. He wants those that want Him. He's going to help those along that's trying to serve Him. You know what Elijah did? Elijah cared about the Word. Now people, they don't know how to rightly divide it, but what the Brother Brown was really saying there is the message of the hour. That's what Elijah was focused on. He didn't care what Jezebel said. He didn't care what Ahab said. He didn't care what the critics said. He said, God wants me to say this, do this. This is the message of the hour. That's what I'm focused on. I care about what God says. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That's what Elijah did. And when Elijah said it ain't going to rain, God said, I care for Elijah.
Yeah.
Let me go down there.
Amen.
It ain't raining. When Moses said, I'm calling for flies, God said, wait a minute. I got to go take care of my servant, my ambassador, the one that cares for me. I care for him. I'm the one that sent him.
Amen.
That's how this thing works. But you got to care. You got to be concerned about this thing. It's got to mean something to you. It's got to be part of your life. That's what God wants. And I ain't trying to compare. You got to do like I or that. This ain't law. This is just the facts of life.
Yeah.
God cares for those that care for Him.
Amen.
That's how it works. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. You know, God's so amazing. He's not bound by time. Because I have so many scriptures, I just think about all the things I've read. Jesus said in St. John, you haven't chosen me, I chose you.
Right.
Romans 9 Amen. Says, not him who will, him who runneth, but that God that calleth and justifieth and does those things.
Yeah.
But you got to rightly divide it.
Amen.
And once is before you even got here and had a chance to manifest that choice,
right.
God was able to see you manifest that choice.
Amen.
All that happened in the eternity.
Amen.
Not bound by time. God's not limited like we on a time scale. He can say, I chose you before you chose me. Then on the other hand, he can turn around. You chose me, sorry. Predestinated you. I'm not trying to confuse you. My point I'm trying to show you is God's eternal. He's, this timeline ain't time to him. He's anywhere he needs to be. And he's still eternal. Sees the whole picture before it happens.
Right.
He's not waiting on see what you're going to do. He knows what you're going to do. He's got foreknowledge.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 28. Just so you know, as I like to let you guys know sometimes, I am not in my notes anymore. It's out of order now. Hopefully we can still survive. We know we will, but Romans 8, verse 28. God cares for you.
Amen.
He cares. Do you care? I'm coming around to you in a little bit. Don't worry. We're going to come and talk about, do we care? We're trying to show God cares for a minute.
Amen.
Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things, God's care, work together for good to them that love God. To them that care for God.
Amen.
To them that chose God.
Amen.
Not anybody else.
Amen.
Not for everybody. For those that care for God.
Amen.
To them who are the called according to His purpose.
Right.
For whom He did foreknow.
Yes.
He also did predestinate. God started, He's starting to take care of you now. He said, I'm not even going to give this thing. Now that I saw what they're going to do. Now we're going to predestinate. I'm going to help them out. I'm going to give them a predestinated seed.
all because of this foreknowledge. Saw what you do and said, oh, he cares for me. I'm going to care for him. I'm going to give him a predestinated seed for the very hour he's going to show up in. And it's going to be watered by the word for that hour. And he was going to say amen with everything in him.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me excited.
Yes.
Devil's so ahead, God so ahead of the devil. The devil's not even in the picture now.
Amen.
You start talking like this, the devil ain't there. He can't even touch that.
Amen.
Devil could not even mention in that scripture.
Right.
He's talking about them that care for God.
Right.
And God, he's only talking about the eternal.
Amen.
And the devil ain't eternal.
Yes.
Oh, that ought to make you feel pretty good.
Amen.
He predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son.
Yes.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You're born again, you got eternal life.
Right.
Just like Jesus. Right. Got the same life Jesus had. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Jeremiah, while you're in your mother's womb, already ordained you a prophet. God already knew what you're going to need to be that prophet. I've called you to do this job. And what's so great when God calls you, he gives you everything you need to get the job done. Oh, that's what I love about those scriptures Sunday. When it came to Jeremiah, he said, I put my words in your mouth. He gave Jeremiah everything he needed that he called him for.
Amen.
Moses, take up that staff.
Yeah.
I'll put words in your lip. I'll give you Aaron. He provided everything Moses needed.
Yes.
Isaiah, I'll take care. I'll put the coal in your mouth. I'll clean you up. I'll give you everything you need because I've called you.
Amen.
And I'm going to send you.
Jeremiah,
and I'm going to provide you with everything you need.
Amen.
Oh, God cares for us people. Cared for us before we were even here manifest. Doesn't stop there. And whom he called, them he also justified. Oh, do you know what justification really means? Oh, you never did it in the first place. Oh, you said it, but I've seen you do this. I don't know what you're talking about. God don't even see it. It's in his sin of forgetfulness. He don't even know what you're talking about. He can't even see it. Because when God forgets something, it's really forgotten. He can't even remember it. He's so powerful, he puts it out of his mind. He's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's what he's done for you and me. He's justified us. I don't care what your past, present, and future looks like. If you're those ones that care for him, you're a justified being. Can't be lost if you ran as fast as you could from him.
Amen.
He'd have something there waiting to get you.
Amen.
Because he cares for you.
Amen.
And them, he also glorified. He ain't worried about it. Oh, this pest house. One is getting older. One whose hand's still hurting because Brother Dustin made him chop wood. The one's got gray hair now. The one that stresses sometimes, worries sometimes. Oh, he's gonna get something different. He's already got something for me. He said, you care for me. I care for you. Let not your heart be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you. You know, I was thinking about that scripture this week, and it just hit me a little different way. That shows you my home ain't here.
Yes.
Think about it. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. I mean, we'll eventually end up on earth, but not this world, cosmos. This world is not my home.
Amen.
If it was, Jesus wouldn't have had to say, I'll go and prepare a place for you.
Yes.
But he said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. Just let the world go. It ain't your home anyhow. Look forward to the mansion he's got for you. Look forward to the theophany he's got for you. Look forward to the glorified body he's got for you. Look forward to the city he's got for you. Look forward to the new heaven and new earth he's got for you. When the devil and all the world cosmos will be gone away with, he's got that prepared for us. What shall we then say? These things. Now you know I love this scripture. If God be for us. If God cares for us, if God provides our needs, who can be against us? Paul's talking like Brother Deskins. I ain't going to call him out by name. I ain't going to call him by the name. Who can be against you? God's got it covered. He's provided you everything you need. I know the devil's real, but I'm just trying to make it. God's provided you so much the devil can't get you.
Amen.
You're going to beat him.
That's right.
Or we need to rip out Romans 8. But it's in there.
It's in there.
It's the truth anyhow.
Amen.
Preach. Amen. Oh, I'm feeling good. It ain't about feeling good anyhow, but it just feels good. This is good. This makes me feel a little bit like I'm ready to fight him again. I'm ready to face him some more. Bring what you can. Who can be against me? He called me. He justified me, glorified me, predestinated me, foreknew me, provided all my needs, going to prepare a place for me. If you even lose this body, you got a house waiting. How can I lose? Get sick, this too shall pass. Die some sickness, this too shall pass. Got an issue, this too shall pass. There's going to be a last day, because Paul was exactly right. There's things that won't get to heaven. I might have them all my days here on earth, but they ain't going to heaven with me. Lust ain't going. Fornication ain't going. Lies ain't going. I don't know. I like a vanilla ice cream ain't going. Whatever it may be on your list, it's all going to be done away with. You ain't losing. He said, "Our God's a consuming fire." That coal is that same consuming fire. The one that destroyed the old soul, quickened the new, consuming fire. The one that washed Isaiah's mouth, consuming fire. The one that's going to clean off this new heaven, to make a new heaven, a new earth, is that consuming fire. The one that's going to destroy the devil. Consuming fire. Because my Bible says, to me, death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. And they were no more. Hell is not eternal, people. But, and then verse 32, a few more, and then we'll keep going. We'll go somewhere else. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now, for the sake of time, you guys know the rest of that's good. What shall separate you? Nor things present, nor things to come. Don't even fear tomorrow. Let the day take care of itself anyhow. We may not even make it tomorrow. We may be raptured. But don't you worry. If we make tomorrow, he's got tomorrow taken care of too. If he knows about the lilies of the field, knows about the sparrows, got the stars in the sky where they're supposed to be, you know he's taking care of you, is what Jesus said. Come on now. He cares for us, people. I got one more place I want to go before I move to our Karen. Psalms 139. I thank God he cares for us. Without him leading, without him guiding, without him preaching, without that new nature, even though he gives us credit, we wouldn't even be able to do what we're doing. He provides what we need. And we turn around and act on it. And he gives us all the credit, even though he gave us what we needed to do it. He really did it. If you look at it right. I serve a God like that. I'm proud to talk about him. Here's our buddy David. Man after God's own heart. Man that loved God. Man that cared about God. Got himself in trouble with that care sometimes. That ark ain't staying down there. It don't belong there. How could the ark of God be here? He got a little out of step sometimes. But David cared about God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. David had a care for God. He put God first. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. That's why at the flip side of that coin, Brother Dustin, he did some things that didn't look so good. I'll just say it that way. We know him. I ain't going to list them all tonight, but he didn't do everything that is so kosher. So don't get the message wrong. Just because you care for him doesn't mean you ain't ever going to have a mistake or ain't going to have this or that. This ain't just the code of rules I'm trying to get to you tonight. Oh, these 10 things you got to do. I actually appreciate that testimony Sunday night, Johanna, because it's so easy to just create this checklist. I got to pray today. I got to read the Bible today. Now I got to teach my kids this today. No cuss words today. What, you know, with the list. Because there's a sincerity there. I want to be right. This is what God's been telling me to do. But you know what? It's got to just come from in. It's just got to be inspired. It's got to be the dynamics on the mechanics. The list is just mechanical, but you want God inspiring. You want God quickening you. It'll just come out of you without you even having to think about it. Just live, as Brother Moore has always taught us. You'll eat that word, and it'll just be who you are with every heartbeat. And it'll manifest whether you care or not. If you never come to church, I'll say this, I have a right to question if you care. If you never help the body, I have a right to question if you care. Now notice, I ain't putting salvation or anything tonight. I'm just having a question is all I'm giving you. If I never see you do anything for God, I have a right to say, do you care? That's all I'm saying. We can ask that question. Because what I've noticed around here, there's a lot of people do things. They move. They act. They care. Amen. They preach. They clean. They pay. They help each other. They get here 30 minutes early. Can't wait for the next service. It shows you care. You're concerned about what God wants. That's what God wants out of us. Somebody that cares for what's going on in this hour and what He wants done in this hour. As Brother Moore said Sunday, that body's depending on us to manifest the word for the hour that we've been called to do. To get a 2,000-year-old bride body with glorified bodies on them. Amen. Notice I didn't say up altogether because they're already up. But I also know how to rightly divide this thing. There's coming a day where those bodies that they didn't have, there's going to be some dust put back on them. And they're going to walk around in human flesh, but glorified. Of course, God's flesh, you know, glorified, I should say. You got to word that right. Not flesh and blood, but glorified bodies. That's coming. And somebody's going to be preaching, and somebody's going to be calling, and somebody's going to be speaking that's alive. Because the Bible says, those that are alive and remain shall not hinder them which are sleeping. And we have it, and we won't. Somebody's going to be here that cares, Brother Moore, that does what God's asking them to do. God's never going to let His word fail. He'll raise up a rock if He has to. But I promise you this, somebody will be alive. I don't care if it's one person. Somebody's going to be alive. Because God said heaven and earth shall pass away. But not one word will ever fail. As far as I'm concerned, I think it's going to be more than one. But if there's only one, you're looking at Him right now. And that's still enough. And you need to be able to say the same thing about yourself. I'm the one that cares. I'm the one that believes. I'm the one preaching if you're a preacher. I'm the one singing if you're a singer. I'm the one that amens the word of God for the hour and cares about it. I'm the one the scripture's written about. I'm the one that God cares for. And I care for God. That's what you should be able to say about yourself. Oh, I got a little time. I'll try to read this fast. Psalms 139, but you guys know it's good. Verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. All these scriptures just shows how God cares for me. Search me. Known me. When I didn't even, You know me better than I even know myself. What does that sense? Know what I'm going to decide before I even decide it. Thou knowest my downsetting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. I love this next one. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. He's went before me. He's been behind me. He's watched all around me. He's protected me. He knows what I need. He's taken care of me. God cares for you and me. Amen. Acquainted with all your ways. That problem you think so bad, he knows. I mean, not that he remembers, but he knows. That ain't what he's worried about. He knows. But what he's looking at is that desire on the inside of you.
Amen.
So that's what cares for me.
Amen.
Oh, it gets me excited. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there.
Amen.
Everywhere I go, he goes. He'll pull me out of hell. He don't even want me to stay there. But he don't leave me just because I do that. He takes care of me. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. You're shining when you don't even think you're shining. Just so you know. You know, I say that because the world don't have God. You have God in you.
Right.
And even sometimes when you're sitting there thinking, man, why did I do that? Or why am I in that situation again? There's light about you. More than you even realize.
My goodness. Thank you, Lord.
God takes care of us.
Amen.
Yea, darkness hides not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. He goes on down and he says, all my members were written in your book. If you never knew how much God took care of you, just read Psalms 139 a few times. Read Romans 8 a few times. You can read the whole Bible, truthfully. But I'm telling you, Psalms 139, Romans 8, man, it lays it out. God be for it, who can be against us? He goes before, he goes behind you, knows your thoughts, acquainted with all your ways. Everywhere you go, he's got you covered. Had you predestined, called you, justified you.
Amen.
He cares for us, Brother Deskins. Has always cared for us, continues to care for us, always been in his mind. He said, I had need to go by Samaria. He ain't going to lose one. No man shall be able to pluck any of mine out of my hand. I won't lose any. We can get scripture after scripture showing that God cares for us. And we thank God for that. Now, I told you he cares. But he expects you to care. God cares because you care. You love God because he first loved you. It's a love affair. God wanted somebody that was not going to disbelieve his word. First Eve fell, this Eve, Brother Moore, is ordained not to fall. He wanted a bride that's going to amen every word of God. That's what he's got. That's what he's got. It's alive. It's standing on her feet. It's been built through the ages, but the bride knows who she is. And that bride has cared about what God was doing in every age, even when they didn't quite know what they even were doing.
Amen.
They were caring the best they knew how to about what God had called them to do in that day, in that hour. But God cares about his word. And he wants somebody that cares about it. I'm connected to the ambassador. That's what being an ambassador is about. You care about what you're going to represent. You know, caring for this thing is, you could describe it in so many different ways. I ain't got them all I'm going to list to you tonight. But caring about it is preaching when you don't want to preach.
Right.
Caring about it is saying, I'm going to sing a song. I'm going to practice a song. I'm just trying to keep it simple for you. Because
right.
I want to bless God and I want to bless the body. I mean, I want to worship God.
Yeah.
And I want to sing his praises. And, you know, we say all the time, you get touched by some person that practiced that song, come in here, didn't expect them to sing, and they get up and sing that song. And then I say, we're all ready to run around the church.
Yeah.
We know it's happened. All because somebody cared. Somebody put God first. Somebody wanted to do something for God. I'm keeping simple things. I know that the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is amen in every word of God. But when you amen every word of God, you start acting upon that word and you start doing things for God because you care for God. It'll change without you sometimes even knowing. You can't help it because your very nature is to serve God.
Amen.
God wants somebody that cares for him, and how this thing works is somebody that's had a real change in them. It's not a put-on thing. You can't earn this care. You can't make this care happen. It's got to be who you are, or it's not going to happen.
Amen.
David didn't even always do everything right, but David cared about God. There was something in him.
Right. Yeah.
that every time he got in trouble, the first thing he went back to was God.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, even when he handled that ark wrong, finally when the ark got back, he just started dancing because he loved that thing. He loved God.
Amen.
He said, he helped me from the lion. He helped me from the bear. He was going to slay that Goliath. He was about the Father's business. That's why Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business.
Amen.
Had concern for what was going on in the hour. Had care for what he was called to do. And it's like we've been preaching the other week where Peter comes and said, we ain't going to let him crucify you. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. That's what I'm sent to do. That's my very job.
Amen.
Jesus knew what he was sent for.
Amen.
He cared about it.
Yeah.
Despite sweat and blood.
Yeah.
In the garden saying, of Gethsemane, saying, Lord, if possible, take this cup from me. But Jesus loved God, loved us.
Amen.
Said, I care.
Yeah.
This is another way to express it. Jesus said, not my will,
right. But
thine be done.
Amen.
And God wants the same thing in this hour.
Amen.
He wants somebody that loves his word, somebody that cares about his word, somebody that will protect his word. That got preached in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Are you a guardian of this word? Are you representing it right?
Amen.
God wants you to care about this
that's
thing.
Right. Amen.
Show it off.
Yeah, right.
Put it first.
Yes.
Is what I'm doing going to hurt it, going to help it? Because we're not here to just satisfy our flesh.
Wow.
We're here to satisfy what God wants us to do.
Amen.
There are all these other things will be added.
Amen.
This world's not our home anyhow. I want to read to you an example. I read it this week and it got me excited. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. A few more points I want to make to you. I'm going to start with verse 7, chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. Promise you, when we get it read, you'll like it. Now, this is Jeremiah, the prophet, talking to God now. It'll shock you initially, but then the finish will not shock you. Oh, Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. God, I've done what you asked me to do. And all I'm getting is mocked. This ain't fun. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because he was prophesying things that weren't so great. You're going to go into captivity. You've turned down God. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach to me and a derision daily. And all Jeremiah is sitting here saying, it wasn't that he was against God. He was just saying, man, this has been hard on me. I've done what you asked me to do. I get mocked. I'm not saying nice things. Everybody hates me. This ain't fun. I'm a little in derision here. Daily, matter of fact. Then I said, now think about it. He's starting to challenge God. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But here comes God. Here comes and type that new birth, so to speak. Here comes that inside of the inside. Here comes, like I always describe it, eats you up from the inside out. This next word, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. No matter how many times Jeremiah tried to run, no matter how many times you're sitting there saying, this is hard, God, and I ain't going to do it anymore, and I ain't mentioning your name,
run.
And I'm just going to run.
Yeah.
There was something in Jeremiah. He couldn't help. He cared for God. He cared for what God called him to do. He was about God's word. He was about God's business. He said, this goes beyond my even individual wants.
Yeah.
It was like fire shut up in his bones.
Amen.
It was just who he was. And he couldn't sit still, Brother Deskin. He cared, and you know what he did? He just kept moving on, kept prophesying.
Yeah.
He said, I ordained me a prophet.
Yeah.
He said he's going to give me my words. He said, I'll back up what you speak. I can't help but do it. I love God, and he loves me.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me excited.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll speak about myself. There's been plenty of times I wanted to quit. Yeah. Don't ask Brother Moore how many times I said I'm done preaching. I'm just being honest with you. But you see where I'm at tonight. Amen. God cares for me. Even when I tried to run, but God knows I care for Him. Amen. That's what He wants each and every one of us to do. Put Him first in our life. Care about this Word. Manifest this Word. Amen. And we're doing it with every heartbeat. Amen. But He's here to remind you tonight. Put God first.
Amen.
Care for what He wants you yes. to do. Amen. Cast your care upon Him.
Yes.
Because in reality, if you really want to know the truth of it, my load is light. Yes. My burden's light. My load is easy. Yes. Take my yoke upon you. Because yes. if you just cast Him, He cares for you. Look at all the caring I showed you He's done. I mean, come on. I'm barely talking about you caring. God cares for you, made you more of a conqueror. He's given you everything you need. This thing's easy on one side of the coin. I could go to the other side if we need to talk about it, but you know what I'm saying. He's given you everything you need. It's an easy step. But God cares for you because He wants you to care for Him. He expects you to care for Him. He wants you to be an ambassador. He wants you to move. Now, I'm just repeating what the pastor said. You guys know I've done this for a while. I've learned a trick. I let Him do the hard stuff. I'm really serious about it. That's His job. I'm sincere about that. I'm not joking. I know God, the Word covers everybody. Preacher gets out of the way, the Word does what the Word does. But me coming in here trying to do what a pastor does, that ain't what I try to do. But all I can do, I get right behind. God wants you to move. He wants you to testify. He wants you to run. He wants you to go. This ain't just sit here and take up space on a bench. Do your part. Care about what He's asking you to do. Because God cares for you because you care for Him. That's just paraphrasing what was said Sunday. He wants you to move. He wants you to pick up that shovel. He wants you to do things that ain't always comfortable. This thing ain't always comfortable. Be real honest with you, most time not. It isn't. I've had preachers tell me they stay up late just to make be last longer before they have to preach. As you fall asleep, you got to preach right when you wake up. Oh, I'm trying to say this thing ain't always comfortable, is all I'm trying to explain. I'm trying to use that as an expression to you. You run. This is hard on the flesh sometimes. But you know what? God wants somebody that, despite all that, cares for Him, puts Him first, wants to be a part. Wants to drive when nobody else will drive. Wants to help when nobody else will help. Wants to sing when nobody else will sing. Stepping up to your post of duty. Amen. That's what God's expecting. Amen. And I'm going to finish with that quote. Don't you worry about it. God cared for Elijah.
Amen.
Because Elijah cared for God. Yeah. Oh, that gets me kind of a little excited. This thing works both ways, people. Yeah, you choose Him, He chooses you. He first loved you, then you love Him.
Amen.
A lot of different ways we can say it, but this is a love affair between you and God.
Amen.
He ain't called somebody that loves something else more than Him. He's called people that love Him more than anything else.
Amen.
I'd be a little sad if my wife loved something more than me. Besides God, you know what I'm saying.
Amen.
She loves something else in this world more than me. That hurt my heart a little bit. Something's wrong. And she should feel the same way about me. And that's how God is. Just in a deeper way, because that's just human love. But God wants somebody, amen, the Word of God. God says, I'm sending a prophet. He wants somebody that says, I want that prophet.
That's right.
I'm sending Rebecca and Isaac.
Yeah.
She lied it off the camera. Her parents didn't make her go. She chose to go. That's what God's looking for. Go find my son a wife.
Right.
Brother Branham Eliezer, go find him a wife. Point her out. And I know it made up the whole thing, not just Brother Branham's age, but that was the prophet in the last hour. Go stand right up on her feet and show us who she is.
Right.
And Eliezer showed up. And this bride, they're all ages long. But I'll go. I'll do. I want to do it. Will you do this, this, this? I do. Will you marry me? I do. That's what the bride's done. That's what she's chosen. Now, I want to give another example here real quick. Two people Brother Branham used to always compare. When he preached leadership. The rich young ruler. Moses. Now, I was reading this week a little bit about the two, and
all my reading, I just hadn't always picked up on it, but it was nice to see his. Brother Branham talked pretty good about that rich young ruler. How he was a good guy. Even said, you know, even for him to seek out Jesus and even ask him, there was something about him. And even talked about how Jesus was kind of impressed by the guy. You know, so, you know, sometimes we can judge so harshly, is all I'm saying, you know, but people are trying to be sincere, but this guy had it a little different than what Moses had. Because this young, rich young ruler approached Jesus. I'm going to paraphrase, Master, what must I do to serve God or do to please God? What else can I do? Jesus said, started mentioning the commandments to him. Yeah. Rich young ruler looked at Jesus and said, I've done this since my youth. That ain't new to me. That's a pretty good guy. Good citizen. Trying, for the most part, to do pretty good. But Jesus went deeper. Went to the root. He went past the mechanics only. Went past the checklist. Went past human behavior. Went past what you can work up. Went down to that soul realm altogether. You know the way to say it. Went past your abilities. Said, sell all you have. Give up everything you are. All the money you have. Everything you've earned. Everything you got. And follow me. Rich young ruler, Bible says he was a little bit disgruntled because he knew he had a lot. And that guy didn't choose to follow him. Didn't go all the way. Then there was Moses. Got raised by Pharaoh. Now, he started all godly parents, but he got raised by Pharaoh. But he wasn't taught no Ten Commandments, just so you know. He wasn't, just so you know. He was not taught Christianity. He was taught the gods of Egypt. So he wasn't keeping those same rules. And I know, of course, the rich young ruler was after the Ten Commandments come. Moses hadn't even got the commandments yet. But the point I'm trying to make, Moses wasn't about God. He was a heathen. Yeah, God visited him. Called him. And Moses cared about God. The Bible says over in Hebrews 11 that he chose the afflictions and the sufferings of the people of God to be greater riches than what he had with Pharaoh, and did it by faith. We move and work by faith. We know it. And he turned down all the riches he had. Next in line to be the Pharaoh. We always say it this way. In some ways, he could have set him free just by being Pharaoh. Wasn't God's way. Brother Branham, because you chose the harder way, which is my way. You know, we know the story. But here's Moses, didn't do all the same Ten Commandments as the rich young ruler. But when it came down to the inside of the inside, beyond human ability, went on to the backside of the desert, got a new birth, so to speak. Met that pillar of fire, met that fire, that coal. He said, I care about God. And dropped all the world and all the worldly possessions. And went out about God's business. I only want to bring you those two examples because I ain't preaching here tonight just to keep Ten Commandments. I ain't here trying to make you a good person and just code of rules. That ain't what my message is and trying to tell you what caring is. Caring is you've been born again. You had something on the inside of you that's eating you up, so to speak. It's your very life. It's your very nature. You can't help but care for God. Amen. You'll manifest God with every heartbeat. That's how this thing works. That's what God wants. For now, you saw he started, he predestinated you. And he wants us to care. And this bride does and will care. That's how this thing works. Cast your cares on him. I got to read this quote and get down. I'm running out of time. But even that cast of care, I want to express that. Just put your load on him. Even when you think it's hard, just say, Lord, help me. Let God do it. Let him dress you. Let him convict you. Let him change you. Because what you can stop, you'll start. What you can start, you'll stop. It's temporal. But let God send that coal. Let him change that, send that quickening power. Let him send that fire. It'll burn it right out of you. And what you used to like, you won't even like anymore. What you used to do, you won't even do anymore. That's how this thing works. Brother Branham talked about a moralist. Let me read this. He says, it's a very beautiful picture of a moralist, as we would think of today. He tries to think he's going to heaven just because he quit gambling. Maybe he quit running around with a woman that wasn't his wife, or he stopped drinking on New Year's Day and turned over a new leaf and joined church. You see, he really isn't converted. He's just a moralist. And the devil's using moralists just to go out and make a false representation when the real power of the living Christ isn't there. The world is wanting to see Christ. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And the branches bear record of the vine because it draws its energy and life from the vine. The first vine, first branch that came from the vine, they wrote a book, Acts, behind it. And we see what the Holy Spirit acted in the first church, at the Church of Pentecost. We believe that the original vine ever puts forth another branch. They'll write another book of Acts behind it. This isn't human behavior. This isn't moralism. This is a changed life. Amen. By God. Last but not least, and then I'm going to let Brother Moore come up and clean all this up. Just to rate it. I'm going to shorten it. God cared for Elijah because Elijah cared for God. All the other preachers had lost the vision of that day and lost the will of God and the love of His Word, and it all went modern. But no matter how modern Jezebel had them, the first lady of the land, no matter how much other preachers had let the women act and do, Elijah called out against it in the name of the Lord. He cared for what God said. And God cared for what Elijah said then. Because he said the word of the Lord. God cares when you care. But you got to care first. Cast your cares upon Him. God bless you. Come on, Pastor.
It's evident that God loves us because of all the things that He's done for us. Brother Childers made a comment one time, and he said, there should be a bit, a feeling of obligation. Even in coming to the house of God, you should feel obligated, and not, it's not a have to. It's not that kind of obligation. It's, God, you've done so much for me. The least I can do for you is to help you do whatever I can, whatever it is that I do. A little bit of obligation there. I mean, I think about what we give back when we come to the house of God. And you could never give enough to pay for what God's done for us. But you can give enough to do what God wants you to do, to be a part of this thing, to move this thing forward. And the thing about it is, you know, there's got to be some sense of obligation, importance in the house of God, in the Word of God, and prioritizing what's important. Because if everything's number one, nothing's number one. And if you don't put God first, you're going to put something first. You will put something will be first. You say, well, I love God, but I love my wife more. I love God, but I love my children more. I love God, but I love my fill in the blank more. And you know what will happen? Is it'll show. It'll show. Because that's what you're going to give your and put your obligation. That's what you're going to feel obligated to. And as long as you have something else ahead of Christ, He's not going to care for you. He's going to break your leg. He's going to do some things. He'll, you know, if he knows that you just need shaking up, because sometimes that's what we just need. We need to be put back in our place and realize, you know, He wants to be first. And then when you put him, when you get him out of first place, you ain't gonna put him in the back seat. He'll wreck the car. he ain't gonna take a back seat to somebody that belongs to him. That's where the shepherd breaks the sheep's leg. You know, a sheep that just keeps getting away from the flock and keep getting away from the flock and keep getting away from the flock. It's a terrible thing for a shepherd to break his leg. But you know, sometimes he breaks his leg to save his life. And same with us. You know, if you really belong to God, and you do, and you don't put him first, don't worry about it. He'll be first or he'll be first. He knows how to get his man. And when he gets through with you, you know, Jonah really did want to go preach to Nineveh when God got finished with him. When God got finished with Moses on the back side of the desert, he wanted to go deliver the children. Because he first told him, I can't do this. I ain't doing it. I can't even speak. And God worked him over, and next thing you know, Moses is like, where's Pharaoh? God knows how to get you. And that's the beautiful part of it, is that when you belong to God and you put him first, you know, when you put God before your own self, he'll bless you. You can't put God first and not be blessed. I know. I've seen it. I've seen people. I remember Sister Alice. There ain't nothing that she would not do for God. And I don't even know how the lady lived. I don't know where she got her money from. I don't know how she made it. She always had food. Always took care of, and she's always giving and always giving. She used to tell us, I want to give, do. Yeah. You know, that was Alice's line. Because you can't outgive the Lord. And you can't outdo the Lord. And so when we want to turn around, we want to turn and put our care back into his investments. Because God's got an invested interest in things. And he wants you to care about that. He wants you to care about this word. He wants you to care about wrapping up. We're talking about wrapping this thing up, and some of us ain't even serious about the rapture. You're like, well, we'll get out of here one of these days. And you're not sighing, and you're not praying, and you're not even... Matter of fact, some people don't want the rapture because, you know, they want to, you know, they want to have kids first. They want to get married first. They want to get a better job. They want a retirement. They want a summer house. They want a boat. They want a house. They want to, you know, they got all these things. They say, Lord, just hold off until I can get me some of this down here. You know what? You're not serious. You're not serious. When you get to the end of yourself and realize, Lord, I'd rather have you than anything on this earth, than houses, lands, anything else that comes your way, it grows strangely dim.
That's right.
You know, and it don't mean that much to you. And matter of fact, it's almost a bother. You're like, you're in the way. I got things to do. Yes. I found out that me working for Springfield was in the way. And I got out of Springfield and got busy doing my father's business, which I've never been more happy.
Amen.
Than when I can do his business. Amen. And you know, it's funny. I'm going to India, and I wasn't planning on going to India, but God had that in my plans. And now Praveen's over there. Going to be over there. And so now I'm like, okay, now I want to go to India. But God knows these things. He sees this thing. He wants to see if you're willing. He first wanted to see if I was willing to go. And he said, willing. He's wanting to see if you're willing to go. If you're willing to sing, if you're willing to testify, if you're willing to pay your tithes, if you're willing to support this thing, if you're willing to push, if you're going to get your shoulder to the back of the wagon and push. Or are you going to stand on the side and watch everybody else and say, "Yo, boy, that's a steep hill. I hope y'all make it." Yeah, I'm praying for you. Matter of fact, I go sit in the wagon while y'all... No, you get in there and you do your part. You show God that you care. Because God don't know you care until you show him. Now I know, Don. That's what he said when Abraham took his son up on the hill. Oh, God had known from before the foundation he was going to do it in his thoughts and in his mind. By his foreknowledge, he knew it, but he didn't know it. He doesn't know it until after it happens. Jesus was hanging on the cross before the foundation of the world in the mind of God, but it didn't really happen until it happened. And God might be looking at you and saying, I don't know if they're really serious about this thing. I announced that we're going to go to London, Ohio next Sunday. And when I heard that announcement, I said to myself, well, that's the Sunday I'm off. I'm gonna just stay home that Sunday. I ain't going to no London. That's too far away. I ain't going to that far. There's enough of them going to go. They don't need me. No, I'm a, you know. That's the way we think. So God don't know if you're going to do it till you do it. But then Abraham took that knife and was just getting ready to kill his son. And God's like, oh, he's serious. He said, Abraham, stay your hand. Now I know that you'll do this thing. And it's the same with you and me. God only knows that you're sincere when he sees it. He won't know you care for him until you actually manifest caring for him. And then he'll say, Jeremiah, now I know. I know you'll do this. I know you'll step out there. I know you'll go to London. I know you'll be a part. You're like, man, I wasn't planning on going that day. That's already hidden. You know, while it went announced, I was already made up in my mind that why I wasn't going, why I can't go. You already had five reasons why you can't go. And God put that out there to see if you're going to go. And then he's waiting to see, and then he'll say, now I know. You put me first. That's the way it works, people. It's not your smartness or your abilities. It's your willingness. You're feeling a little bit obligated. Obligation is not a bad thing. You know, when I was working, I was obligated to get up every morning at 6 o'clock and go in. Now I'm not obligated, you know what? 6 o'clock don't mean that much to me now. I mean, but see, if you're obligated to something, you'll push to that, especially if it's first place. If God is first place, you'll push to God's will. Church doesn't surprise us. Oh, what are y'all doing here on Wednesday night? We've been doing this as long as I've been here. Sunday morning, same thing. Sunday night, same thing. It's no surprise. God just wants to see if you really care. He might throw a fourth service in there just to see if you really care. The Bible says do it that much more as you see that day approaching. Y'all laughing, but that's the word. You know, it's like, oh, do you really care? Or are you just, you know, doing this out of convenience? He cares for you. Do you care for him? If you care for him, then he'll take care of you. The old song says, he cares for you. Come on, musicians. He cares for you through sunshine or shadow. He cares for you. So put him first. Show him that you care. Don't just talk it. Show it. That's like your spouse. Don't just talk that you care. Show it. You could say you care all day long. You say you care, then when you go down to eat dinner, she got her plate, her glass, her food, and you don't have none at your place. Honey, I love you. I care for you. Or you go to go somewhere and your wife didn't get in the car in time and you left her standing in the parking lot. Then she can say, now I know. But if you care for somebody, don't just talk it. See, that's for me. I'm not a talker. I'm really not. If I care for you, I'm going to show you. Because I can talk you, I love you, I love you. And I hear that all the time. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And there's nothing behind it. But if you care and you show it, you don't even have to say it. I mean, they want to hear the words, and that's okay. But that's Hollywood. But if you show them, look at Praveen. Now, he didn't hardly say two words. You wouldn't hardly know he's even here. But you know what? It took four people to take his place. And he'll be missed. And there's things that he's got to do still from over there that he's going to do because he cares for you. And that's just one example. I could go through this congregation and I could name people, but then I'll get in trouble because I'm going to forget somebody. Then they're going to get their feelings hurt. And next thing I know, I'm going to get this letter from them. Yeah. We care. Do you care? Do you care enough to make sure that this thing keeps rolling? This thing's going to bring the dead up. you going to be a part of it? Amen. I want to live the way He wants me to live, not the way I want to live. And I've done that enough. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there is no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. You know why? I could never outlove the Lord. I could never care for Him as much as He cared for me. I've only cared for Him for a few years. He cared for me from before the foundation of the world. My goodness. Come back Sunday. I'll pick up Brother Tony on Friday, and he'll be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. Now, we are going to have services Sunday night, which will be on the internet. So we're not going to do Bible study, but we'll have a full-fledged Sunday night service. So Tony can have two services with us, and then I'll be taking him back to the airport on Tuesday. So we only have this weekend. So get your time in and come prepared Sunday to have church. Amen. Amen. I want to live the way He wants me to live. Lord, I want to give until there just no more to give. And I want to love. Let me love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord. Oh, I want to live the way He wants me to live. And I want to give until there's just no more to live. And I want to love, oh, let me love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord.